As the true sati is without the observer. Here is what J. Krishnamurti came to realize also. There is only an awareness of the phenomena or the impersonal process of dependent origination. No subject behind. No subjective seeing. Only objective seeing. Arising from that pure awareness nature. Or the essence of mind, which is the unconditioned and without thought, which is part of the egoic mind, or as per what the Buddha had often said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see, like the physics experiment, where they are all conditions arising naturally. Like the physics experiment, you need God to create that light or not? No need, isn't it? When the condition is there, you on the switch, everything in working condition, it lights up. So these are natural causes and conditions and causal phenomena. So this is the true understanding of anatta within the dependent origination teaching, born of right view. Hence, no more self-delusion, sakkayaditti. Hopefully you can understand. Go back and really read through, reflect, contemplate, and stabilize this understanding. Then when you meditate with this understanding, you awaken very fast. No more doubt. And you become very different.
I would like to request you to share with regards to avijja paccaya sankhara, the difference between heedless thinking and healthy contemplation.
Okay. Thanks. Sadhu, let us rejoice. You see, if it's heedless thinking, means what? You don't have Dhamma, don't have Yoniso Manasikara, you are not enlightened yet. That's why you become heedless. And what is heedless thinking? You think without understanding, understand? You don't understand the Dhamma behind, the right view that governs law of karma, that governs life and existence. So because of that, heedless thinking is following the first feeling. So avijja is ignorant. Paccaya, sankhara. So the unenlightened one, the putujana, who don't have the Dhamma understanding, this link is very active. Understand? This one is very active. Avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Non-stop. That's why you think a lot, you realize a lot. And when you think a lot, it becomes habitual. And it develops what? Heedless thinking, understand? Where it becomes habitual, understand? When you develop contemplation, you are not using avijja. Do you understand? You have an open mind, understand? Then you have a creative mind. You know what is a creative mind? Contemplation means there is some form of thinking, but slow. Not heedless and fast thinking, understand? Means you cannot control and the thought keep on arising and passing, arising and passing. But contemplation means you can be in a setting where it's very conducive and it makes you very peaceful, very calm. It's just like a lot of talented people, musician, poet. When they are in a tranquil setting that is suitable for them, they have this creative mind that can allow them to come up with good music, understand? Very good poem. You all know all the famous Su Tong Po, isn't it? You know what is the tranquil setting for him or not? When he is drinking. When he drinks, he got a lot of... Normally you think drink, drunk, no clarity. This guy can drink one. And when he drink, he got a lot of clarity. And that stimulates his creativity. That's why he can, inside that state, all the poems just come out. You think this life, past life he has been doing all this. You think Jie Gong, Jie Gong is who? Qi Gong. And what he do? He also take dog meat, drink, understand? But He is an enlightened being, you know, understand? So all this, you cannot see externally and come to conclusion, cannot. So what happened is, to have the creativity, you must be in a tranquil setting that is very conducive. Yeah. So like the three type of peace. You remember the Buddha teach the three type of peace. What is the first type of peace? Ah, seclusion. The Pali word is what? Ah, no, viveka is, citta viveka is the second one. The mind in seclusion. The first one is, kaya viveka. Means when you renounce as a monk, you have kaya viveka. Then the last one is upadi viveka. You see, these are the type of peace. When you go to a tranquil setting, means when you renounce, you go to the temple, you give up all your relationship with your whatever, parent and all. So you only have the requisite of the monk, simple life. Then you seclude from the materialistic world, understand? So that tranquil setting bring about a type of peace. Like you come here, if you know how to silence your mind, meditate, you become very peaceful, very fast, very tranquil. Then no need to work, nothing disturb you. So that type of peace is the first type called kaya viveka. So those player and talented musicians or talented people, they go to this type of setting is to develop kaya viveka. Understand? So when you are in that tranquil setting, means you are not heedlessly lost in thought. Understand? You are not thinking. Then you have clarity, creativity. You can contemplate. You can reflect. And how do you contemplate? The second turning of the Four Noble Truths that the Buddha teach. What did he teach you? The Four Noble Truths, he said, under the second turning, he give you important pointer and emphasis. This first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. That is the pointer. Then from there, you inquire, contemplate. How can I understand this? That is the inquiry. Then, why did the Buddha say, birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation is suffering. And this is contemplation, understand? So when you are in that creative state, you got kaya viveka. This is the first level of peace. Means kaya is physical. This is seclusion, physical seclusion. Means you go away from all the noisy people, the city, the chattering and all those things. You go to a quiet place, a tranquil setting. So kaya viveka is how you develop the initial peace, born of physical seclusion. Born of physical seclusion. Oh, sorry. Got a C. So when you are in that state, you contemplate, you reflect. Then when you contemplate and reflect, you call to mind. When you inquire why is birth suffering, then you recall to mind the birth process. Understand? You may not be a lady, but you can also, through your knowledge, or if you have a wife who delivered before, you can also know and understand many things. Right? So you recall. Yeah. Then you will know, really, birth is suffering. Why? When they conceive, that 9 to 10 months before delivery, which is birth, you think the wife or the mother didn't suffer. Those who went through, they know. Morning sickness, check up, your physical become out of shape, you have to buy new clothing to wear and all of that. Then that birth process is really suffering. Like that case, Angulimala, you remember? Abnormal birth. So what happened is, when you reflect, you contemplate, then through your recollection of the process that lead to birth, you realize there is a lot of suffering. Then when birth happened, what happened? If it's a normal birth, you're happy, you look forward to what? become papa, the grandparent look forward to the grandchildren, then new moon, full moon, understand? Then after that, buy gift, whole party, understand? Celebration. But what happens if the birth is not normal? And the doctor come and tell you, you must make a choice. You want me to save the mother or the child? Dilemma, understand? And the process is not easy. Then with birth come what? Old age, sickness and death. Understand? And this one not suffering. It's definitely suffering. So when you contemplate and reflect, that's how the answer comes. Then sickness, old age, injury, I add in injury and death. It's also suffering. Then separation. You contemplate, all the answer come out. Okay? Yeah. So this one is the original link lead to heedless thinking. Because without wisdom is heedless thinking. Because before you have the wisdom, avijja is always there. Understand? No? But then, even if you have avijja, you have this tranquil setting, you can develop the second turning wisdom of cintamaya panya. Understand? No? That's how contemplation works. Understand? No? So you contemplate when you are here. And you know what is citta viveka? Mental seclusion. When you are in your awareness nature, you seclude your mind and stay inside there. Understand? That's why this one very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil. Understand? But the one that do jhana also same. They seclude their mind inside in jhana, in one-pointedness. They don't want to come out. They build up energy field. And also citta viveka. But this one is what the Buddha wants you to realize. Upadhi viveka. This is not mental seclusion, no. This one is seclusion based on wisdom, no. When you have the wisdom, that's why the Buddha is not the Buddha if he's only peaceful when he's at the tranquil setting or in the monastery, understand? No? Or when he is confronted with good, wholesome people and condition. Upadhi viveka means seclusion born of wisdom. This one means suchness seeing. You have developed the wisdom connected to it, and you can have this type of seclusion born of wisdom. Means you can see them, perceive them, understand them, use them, live within the existential world, but you don't suffer. Understand? This is the third phase of Dhamma. Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. This is Pativeda phase. Understand? And this type of peace, nobody can take away from you. Understand? You're born of wisdom connected to your nature. So the Buddha taught all this. And it's very beautiful, very meaningful. Okay, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.